You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with John Gibby, Andrew Mount and Dale Gibson in the studio. We've got Doncaster and Newbury over the obstacles. First of 2 day meetings at each of those venues. Linkfield on the all weather as well, and the usual Friday evening fair of all weather action at Newcastle on the domestic front and Dundalk over the Irish Sea. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Hello, Mark. I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. We're getting very close to the Cheltenham Festival. So we've been having a little bit of a look at that, or some of the big races coming up on the podcast. Spoke to Pimmy yesterday on this edition of the podcast, and we were having a little bit of a chat about the Gold Cup, and I was thinking you might know the answer to this, given that you're a bit of a racing anorak.
Well, okay.
Native River won the Gold Cup last year after finishing third the year before.
Yeah.
But many of the recent Gold Cup winners won it on their first attempt in the race. So barring Native River, is there any horse recently that you can think of that ran in it and then went on to win it the year after?
Seymour Business did, because I think his saddle slipped in 98, and then he obviously won it in 99. Looks like Trouble, that was his first time. Obviously Best Mate with his three wins after that, though I don't think there were anybody else having got beaten their first. Did Long Run get beaten it the first year, or did he win it the first year he ran in it?
I think he won it the first year.
Yeah, is that when he beat the other two?
Yeah.
So before that, you've got the list of winners there in front of you. Oh, the fellow, he got beat. The fellow won it in 94. He got beat a short head in 91 and 92 and finished fourth in 93. So he actually won it at the fourth attempt.
Right.
In the end. Desi, it was his first attempt. Charter Party in 88, I think he'd run in the race before. Before that, it gets a bit foggy because obviously I wasn't alive. So.
Yeah. Well, I knew the Dickler had placed in it a couple of times before winning it.
Yeah.
But that was the only one I could come up with.
Yeah.
So you've come up with several others.
Well, can we definitely two. Definitely two. The fellow and Seymour Business. So, because Seymour Business, was it Seymour Business now? I'm doubting myself, but definitely the fellow. Got beat a short head by Garrison, okay. Savannah and Cool Ground, was forced to Jadami, and then beat Jadami the following year.
Okay.
I'm just going to look up Seymour Business because that's going to annoy me otherwise.
The point we're making is that more often than not, horses having their first run going to win, and obviously we've got a couple of those in the head of the market for this year's renewal.
Yeah, so, Seymour Business, he was carried out in 1998 and then obviously won in 99.
So there you go. I knew you'd know something along those lines.
Back of my mind somewhere, yeah.
Champion Hurdle is what I want to talk about with you at
the
Cheltenham Festival, because it is pretty open, the Champion Hurdle. Obviously, you got got Bouvardaire coming back to try and win it for a third year in a row, which would be some feat. And for me, he never really quite gets the credit that he deserves. But you've got several others in there. We saw Verdana Blue in action on the All Weather. Who, of course, beat Bouvardaire last time. That was on Wednesday evening. You've got the likes of Apples Jade in there and so on and so forth. Just trying to get the betting up. And here it is. Bouvardaire, 15-8, 2-2 on Apples Jade. Larina, 7-2. 11-1 Charger. 16s for Sam Crow and Verdana Blue. And 22-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. What do you make of it this year?
I know what you mean with Bouvardaire about it, the credit he deserved. I've been generally underwhelmed by him. Particularly his win last year when he beat Melon and Mick Jazz. Because I really, really have a strong sense of hype towards Melon. And so that sort of inverted, and I really was negative about him quite strongly. To the point where at a Cheltenham Festival preview, I think I said if he won, I would run naked down my local high street.
Thank goodness he got beat.
Jeez, oh, yeah. I mean, it's a tense few seconds for everyone, Mark. But that sort of underwhelmed me even more because obviously he's only beat Mellon. I really don't like Mellon. But then at Newcastle, I was completely blown away by him. I thought that was his best ever performance when he won the Vice Team.
Stylish, wasn't it?
It was. And I know Sam Crowe obviously subsequently underperformed before and after. So you could argue that he probably underperformed there slightly as well. But still, the manner in which he did it and did so was quite taking. Actually, and, you know, he beat Vision de Flo, who's not had a bad season. Obviously, Somerville Boy wasn't quite right, and we know that, you know, he was suffering at the time as well. So I suppose the value of it is open to question, but the style in which he did was great. And then at Kempton, I was sort of back to square one and was like, oof. But that error three out was a real shuddering mistake. Verdana Blue's a very good mare, for all that. I don't think... I wasn't disappointed when she got beat at Kempton on Wednesday night, but I think possibly if Luke Morris could ride the race again, he would ride it differently, and it was more the tactics of the jockeys that won the race as opposed to outright ability. But she's not a champion hurdle winner for me anyway. If the champion hurdle winner doesn't come from the top three, I'll be amazed. For all that, I think Sharjah has been slightly sort of brushed aside and overlooked because he's a better horse this year. You know, you don't win a Galway hurdle and two grade ones by fluke, particularly the Galway hurdle, which probably in Ireland is the most competitive hurdle race of the year anyway. And he's been freshened up because I thought, you know, he's had a busy time of things in the last 12 months, but he's had a little break, which I think is fair enough. And of those down the list, there is nothing that really excites me particularly. I know Global Citizen's been saying, oh, we could run a beard race, they're going to maybe run Vision Day Flow, etc. But there is nothing else. One of the top three in the betting will win. Then we come on to Lorena, who some people say, well, you know, she doesn't jump very well, or she jumps a bit high, or she's not running into the boys and all that sort of stuff, which I all concur with. And this two runs this season have been inconclusive, basically. She's still alive and got four legs. But I went back and watched her run last year at Cheltenham when she won that mess hurdle, and she was so impressive. I mean, devastatingly impressive. She was so impressive.
Yeah, that's one of the points I was going to make. This time last year when she won at Cheltenham, everyone was saying, oh, I hope they go champion hurdle with her, but they'll go to the mare's race. And everyone was kind of like, she's too good for the mare's race. But that enthusiasm kind of tempered throughout the season because...
Yeah. But I think it's again to do with the races that she's running. Yeah. A tin pot race at Sandown, a race at Punchdown, again, that she should have won. A bit really like Presenting Percy. After he won the RSA, everyone was raving about him for this year. And as they've got closer to the Gold Cup, you've got more and more lukewarm because of the preparation. Yep. But like with him, I went back and watched the RSA, and he was so impressive in the RSA, and he beat some really good horses in doing so. So it's a similar thing. And I was cool, but have warmed to her gradually, almost to the point that I've warmed past Apple's Jade as well. She has underperformed. Although she's won at Cheltenham, she's got beat the other twice. Yes, she was second in a very good Triumph hurdle, but the winner wasn't very good, bizarrely. But some of the horses behind her were and are top class. She won the Mayor's Hurdle. She got beat last year. She was in season apparently afterwards as well. So I think to maybe get that close, etc. She did well. But I'd like her to win because I think she's the best horse, and I want the best horse to win, but I don't think she will.
Who do you think will win?
I think Bouverdere will win again.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. After all that, I think if he repeats Newcastle,
yeah,
this is his hardest champion hurdle to date. But if he repeats the performance from Newcastle, he's going to be very hard to beat, I think.
And then he would be up there with some of the best champion hurdlers we've ever seen in terms of winning races.
If he wins this one, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
It's fascinating. I might change my mind between now and then, to be honest.
I feel like I might a few times.
Yeah, and settle on Apple's Jade. Then on the day, think, oh no, Lorena. And it depends on the ground. If the ground comes up soft or heavy, I think Lorena's chances improve, and Apple Jade's, the gap closes a little bit more between them.
Glad to look forward to on the first day of the Cheltenham Festival, of course. Do keep checking Twitter and the William Hill website as well, because in the countdown to Cheltenham we'll be having Cheltenham offers as well. So 11 days to go, it'll be 11-1, 10 days to go, 10-1, and so on and so forth. Worth a look at them. And I think I had a sneak peek that I think Bouverdere might be in one of those in the build up to the festival as well. So do check those out. Let's move on to action coming up a little bit closer though, Stephen, because we need to take a look at the action coming up on Friday. We've got a decent card at Newbury, and the first race we're going to look at there is the 3:25, which is the National Hunt Novices Hurdle, 2 miles and the extended 4 furlongs in front of them, so just over 2.5 miles. Field of 9 set to go to post here, Stephen, and I'm sure many people will be interested to see how Emmy Tom gets on, given that he's 4 from 4. Two of those wins have been over hurdles and pretty comfortable successes as well.
They were indeed, yes. His best piece of form is obviously when he won at Foss last in November. He beat Lys Nagar Oscar very impressively over 2.5 miles. And that's the key thing, Mark. That's his only run over 2.5 miles so far. And it was the best piece of form by quite some margin, even though he'd won the other three races. At Lingfield, he did what he had to do at 1-8. He was entered in the Sydney Banks, which was called off. He would have run against Angel's Breath there and one or two others who would have got a better idea of him. But I think going back up in trip, they're missing Cheltenham with him. Obviously, he's not going to run there. So this will be a nice little sighter, I would imagine, then for Aintree as well. Tidal Flow, his main opposition, sent off favourite in the race that Beakstown won, the Leamington Novices Hurdle Grade 2 at Warwick, finished last of six, beaten 36 lengths. You've got to put a line through that because it was so far removed from what we'd seen from him previously. It was too bad to be true. However, even his win here at Newbury in December, he beat Downtown Getaway, who has subsequently won. But there's only one other horse in the race that's won since, and the horses that were placed outside of Downtown Getaway have not done a great deal for it. And I think it's open to some question. And because he's coming here off the back of a negative run, I'm not convinced Philip Hobbs is in the best of form either, even though one of his horses beat Verdana Blue. I think that, as I say, was jockey more than horse, personally. I'm going to stick with Emma Tom to win the race. Nicky Henderson, triple-handed, and you obviously got to give them a mention. Gallagher's Cross, who was very, very well touted at Ascot in December. I was there that day, and there were lots of good rumours for him on that occasion, but he underperformed. And I think he's really, really interesting of the Henderson's three. The other two, not seen them for a while, and so probably just best watch. But I think that Emma Tom, if he's going to have sighters on Aintree, he's got to win here, and the step back up in trip is the key thing. That Lys Nagar Oscar form, absolutely top notch.
And that is the high five meeting as well. If you fancy Emma Tom and you think he can go on to win quite impressively, then you might have an interest in him and potentially get 15% extra as well if he goes on to win by five lengths or more. 4:30 at Newbury is where we go next. A Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over the extended 2 miles and six furlongs, so 2¾ miles this time around. And Orchardstown Cross, the logical starting point here, Stephen. He's quite lightly raced. He won last time out. He runs under a penalty. Is he on your shortlist?
Well, he'd have to be on the shortlist, Mark. I think it'd be stupid if he wasn't, really. He has improved over fences this year. He did have a go 2 years ago, actually, but I think it was maybe when he was with Tim Vaughan and maybe probably wasn't quite ready. But two runs this season, touched off by RK Bizier and then won impressively at Taunton last time out just 10 days ago. Obviously, he got the penalty for that, but he does seem to be an improved animal for this yard. The other one, and the one that's going to be my choice, I think he's going to be the main danger, is Cesar E. Rosalie, who's trained by Neil Mulholland. Beat a good horse in Lithic when staying on well to win at Uttoxeter, and he was sent off favourite at Wincanton the time before as well. The trip before that was inadequate at both Newcastle and Chepstow. The longer trip has definitely suited him, and he's improved with each of his runs over fences. And the Neil Mulholland team are going pretty well at the moment as well, of course. They had a good winner at Foss Lass earlier on this week, and they also, of course, won the big race at Kempton with Walt back at the weekend. And it is definitely between those two. That slightly longer gap just leans me in favour of Cesar E. Rosalie with a yard in form, but there's not a great deal between them. And further down the list, there's horses who've got question marks to answer. Lex Talionis has had a lot of chances. Raw Magic ran well last time out, but it'd been a while since he'd ran well, to be honest, and the same goes for several others down the list. The only one I would mention, maybe at a big price, would be Gin Conti. I think he might improve going over fences for Harry Whittington and Gavin Sheen, but he'd be an outside chance.
Superb. Thank you very much, Stephen. Very best of luck with those selections and enjoy the action on Friday.
Cheers. Thanks, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Stephen Powell then on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. with John Gibby, Andrew Mount and Dale Gibson in the studio. Doncaster, Newbury and Lingfield in the afternoon. Newcastle and Dundalk throughout the evening. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.